Welcome to Go For Your Life. Thank you so much for tuning in and giving me your listening ears. Woohoo! This is a podcast for everyone, about everything, and it's to encourage, inspire, uplift you to go for your life. And it is presented and hosted by myself, Caro, and my sweet dog Sparky. Give it up for him. I hope you're ready. Enjoy.
Welcome back to another episode of Go For Your Life. And I am really excited about this one because especially, so we're welcoming Nicola. Hello, Nicola.
Hello.
Amsterdam to South Africa. Nicola is my website designer.
That's so right.
Everybody goes straight away to carotech.com, checking out Nicola's work, like, oh my God. And of course, also we have to give some credit to Maria, who is the creative designer behind it all. But the thing was, I wanted to have you on the podcast for a while because it's also nice because I really don't know you, so I have lots of questions. But my first question really was because when I went to your Instagram, which is great, by the way, and
Thank you.
And I always love what you're posting, and you're always very honest, and it's very refreshing, and it's very like, you know, you just are who you are, you know, there's no like, oh, I'm trying to sell you this product, you know, it's also, and you ask a lot of questions, which I think is always making it interactive. But do I have it right that you mainly work with women?
Yes, I do. I have worked with men in the past, but I'm just naturally just drawn to working with women and empowering women to create online businesses. That's my main focus. So yes, It's all about empowering women these days and working with women.
Wow, this is really, because I found it really interesting, because do you feel, is it like something that you don't even look for? It just automatically happens that mostly women find you, or do you really put it out there like, hey,
I think in the beginning it definitely was just something that happened, and that's what I naturally attracted. And I naturally attract women that love the same things that I love. Like, I love health and fitness, and I love the self-help kind of spiritual, you know, that kind of industry, and that's what I attract. And I somehow also attract the wedding industry. I don't know why. I'm not even married. I've never dreamt of a massive wedding in my life, but for some reason it's like
trying wedding, to tell you something.
Yeah, they're trying to tell me something. So it's like wedding photographers, wedding dress designers or planners, and that have really just been attracted to me. And yeah, they've been amazing to work with. But so in the beginning, it was like it just happened. And then I got into this. Obviously, when I became a mom, it was like, I want to empower women to create their own life, their own online businesses, and just, you know, create that life freedom that most people crave. It's that time freedom and to do exactly what they love to do. And I see a business in everyone. When I see someone, is it a family member, my sister-in-law, my friends, I'm like, you should start a business. And they're like, no one wants to buy that. I'm like, everybody wants to buy that. They want to buy that. But where do we start? And I'm like, you just start. And then I'm like, I'll do the website for you. Don't worry. I'll do that. Like, you don't have to worry. But yeah, it's naturally just, it's women that I love to help.
That's really awesome, actually, because what is your, like, kind of your story is you obviously are a website designer, but do you come from, what was your background in that sense? Like, do you have a designing background or?
So it all started probably when I was like 11 years old. And I remember when my parents got dial up. I don't know if you had dial up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sound, you know, that sound, like, you know, that sound.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, my parents got dial up, and we lived in a very small town in Botswana. And we were like the first people to get internet, which was amazing. And I was hooked. I don't know what it was about this, but I just loved it. I loved like computer science class, and I loved everything about computers. And so when I finished school, I was like, that's exactly what I wanted to do. And I knew from like 11 years old, I wanted to do something around computers. I didn't know specifically that it was like the web, but I just knew it was around that. And then after school, I studied for a year, and I did like an intensive computer science diploma and really dove into like programming and everything. And everybody went in one direction of like programming databases. And I was like, that is so boring. I was like, no, come on, guys. And I was the only one out of like everybody, and there was like hundreds of us, that decided to go down. I mean, this is back like how many years ago? Maybe like, oh, I'm giving away my age, but like 20 years ago. But 20 years ago. And I was like, so everybody was going to like databases, and I went to JavaScript and learning about Java. And obviously that's the kind of programming that's in web. And the final practical was to create a dating website. So that was quite interesting. And after a full year of like totally being engrossed in computers and everything, I actually didn't ever want to see a computer after that. So I packed my bags and I went to Paris, and I lived in Paris for a year. And then after living in Paris for a year, I was a au pair in Paris.
Three
very, very naughty boys. And then
good practice for later in life.
Definitely. But then I had two girls, so I don't know if that's the right practice. But anyway, then I went to London, and I kind of think, you know, when you're so young, I just kind of lost my way. And then I ended up working in insurance and all just kind of random jobs. And then I decided to move back to South Africa. And that's when I kind of in London touch on like a blogging course. And I thought, right, I want to be a blogger. And I hated the writing part, and all I liked was making it pretty. And how do I put this button here? And back then it was like Blogger. I don't know if you ever remember the Blogger, and it was more like Blogger and WordPress.com, and WordPress was kind of just coming out, and it was like Tumblr. I don't know if you remember Tumblr.
Yeah.
Like all that kind of stuff. And I remember, so my dad lives in Scotland, and I was waiting for a flight to his house, and it was delayed or something. So I went to the bookstore and I found a book on WordPress, and I bought this WordPress book. And I kind of think that was like, and you know, when people say, and that's the end of the story, sort of, or that's the beginning of the journey. Yeah, it's kind of like the rest is
history, right?
You know, that, and the rest is history. That's the wording. And I just, I was hooked. I went to my day job. I did my insurance job, and I came home, and I would, from about 5 o'clock in the evening till like probably midnight, I would just sit trying to learn WordPress, trying to learn Blogger. And then I moved back to South Africa, and I met someone who needed help with a website, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. It was like, I would do one job, and then she would tell someone else and tell someone else and tell someone else. And I didn't even have my own website, which was amazing. And then the next thing, I was like, okay, I'm going out on my own. I'm starting my own business. I'm a web designer. I'm a web developer.
Yeah.
And that was about 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And I still absolutely love my job. And I love it because it continuously changes, and I'm continuously growing and learning. And that's what makes me the happiest.
Because because it sounds a little bit like you really have this drive to have your own business, you know, also what you're saying, like, and I have friends and I tell them to. So do you understand where that drive is coming from? I mean, why do you have this drive to have your own business? I mean, you could have also worked for someone.
Wow, do you know what it is? So when I worked for a company in the UK, I worked for an insurance company, and I'd always reach kind of like this threshold of like, okay, I've learned everything. Now what? It's like, and then I used to like go to my manager and I'd be like, okay, what else have you got for me? What else?
Yeah,
and
exactly. She'd
be like, oh my gosh, Nicola, like, how can you, like, you just keep asking me. And I'm like, I don't have anything. And then she would like look to other departments to find things. And then she always asked me, don't you want to manage the team? And I was like, it's kind of not my thing. I don't want to be like a leader, a manager. So it was more just, So the drive to start a business is about constantly learning and evolving. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you work for yourself, it's the biggest self-development tool. You learn so much. I mean, you wear like a million hats a day. You're doing your accounts, you're doing everything. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to figure things out. And the online space has changed so much in 7 years. And I can see in the next 2 years, it's going to change. And the next, 5 years, it's going to change. And then I'm still going to be learning. And I'm still trying to reach different levels in my business. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me so happy when I'm constantly growing. And I think that's what it is. That's why I have that drive. If I work for someone else, I get bored.
Exactly. I'm
just not going anywhere. I feel like it's that mundane. I wake up at 9, I come home at 5, I go to work at 9, come home at 5. There's nothing more. There's no building process.
Mm-hmm. Because would you say, do you feel, is that just professional, or have you also learned a lot about yourself personally?
Oh, both. Personally, professionally, every aspect. It just, well, I think, you learn stuff in your business that just spills over into your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, definitely.
Because can you name a few things that you learned about yourself?
Wow. Where do I start?
I
don't even know where to start. What have I learned? Gosh, I just think I have changed so much as a person since starting my business. I'm more reflective and observant of like the things that I do. Well, I don't know what else.
That's a good one though. That's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are observant, do you also feel like you are, is that in a non-judgmental way, or do you have the tendency to judge yourself when you are?
Well, I definitely both ways. It depends on the situation. So, I mean, I've just recently launched a course, which you may have seen on Instagram. So I launched my first course. I did a mini launch about 2 years ago, but this was like going all in. And this is the kind of direction I want to go in now, is to teach people to create their own website. And so the judgment comes up a lot there. And but I can observe that and say, okay, well, there's judgment. But it's also, I'm like, I want to be 10 steps ahead of where I am now. Or I follow people on Instagram and it's like, why am I not there yet? I should be there. But then I always have to come back and say, but stay, I am here,
girl.
Now
stay in your lane.
Always
stay, because I think that's the thing. I find that so overwhelming from Instagram, because the moment you start, because as you know, like, I'm a yoga teacher and a chef, and the moment you start like, oh, but I mean, I'm not like that, or oh my God, they're doing this. It's like, it's just, I really learned one thing, is like, stay in my lane. Like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing,
How do you do that if you are on Instagram?
Well, definitely get the fuck off Instagram is a good first step. Or definitely what I try to do now is to just be on it less. I just don't want to, because also I don't, especially when, I have a full-time job now of cooking, and I'm too busy to be on it anyway. But I feel, for me, staying in my lane is very much about like focusing on myself and knowing that I am enough where I am, and that the what you're doing as well, what you're saying about learning, is the same for me. Like, I learn all the time. I'm now doing a 500-hour teacher training. I'm already a teacher. Mm-hmm. I've been teaching for 8 years. And like you, I was also a little bit like, so what's next? And I was so ready to be, I have an incredible teacher. I'm learning a lot from him. So it's a little bit like, challenging yourself, but knowing like, this is where I am. And this might not be perfect, or that might not be perfect, but I'm not gonna, I think it's a little bit like when you're on a yoga mat and you are on your mat and you're in a space with a lot of people around, I see students do this all the time, where they look at their neighbor, like, oh, but they can do a headstand, or, but they can't. And I think one thing that I've learned very much is like, whatever happens left or right for me, like, I'm here and this is my practice and it's sacred and I should be proud of what I'm doing. It's a process and it's not always easy. But I think that especially when you are, I think what I also why I admire you so much is because you are in an industry that's competitive, you know, mm-hmm. like there's, I don't know, hundreds of Nicolas, not Nicolas, but people that do the same as you do. So how do you stand out? You know, like, how do you, and that's also how I really like how you present yourself, because it's mm-hmm. different.
So I don't see that competition that maybe you see. There's loads of web designers out there, but there's loads of yoga teachers, there's loads of chefs, there's loads of everything. And I have just never seen anyone as competition as me. To me, mm-hmm. I think there is more than enough work to go around. And with the pandemic, there's actually even more now, because more people want to be online, more people want a website, more people realize that the online space is now the safe space to be, to teach, to share their knowledge, to get more clients. If you weren't online before the pandemic, surely now, almost 2 years later, you are online. Mm. And I've always felt like there's more than enough work to go around.
Yeah,
and when you have that mindset, then it works. And I've had people say, oh, I'll pass clients your way as long as you give me commission. Or I've passed clients to other people and they say, do you want commission? And I'm like, no, I'll pass clients to you, and I know that you will maybe pass that on to someone else, or it'll come full circle back to me. The ripple effect, it comes back to you. And I've just never seen that. But going back to, you know, Instagram and comparing things, I've found what really works for me is sitting down and defining, you know, my direction, my future, what do I exactly want? And so, you know, I'll see someone on Instagram having a photo shoot because they do revamping their website, and I'll go back to my goals and be like, well, that's not on my goals for 2021. So good on you. Enjoy your photo shoot. It's not part of my kind of direction and my future, but enjoy it, you know, because sometimes you'll look at someone else and they might be launching a course, and then you think, oh, should I be doing that? Is that what I'm supposed to be doing?
Is that what I'm supposed to be doing?
But when you've actually got your own goals, then, you know, you don't question that.
That's also very much that focus.
You come from that space of, oh, congratulations, that's really awesome. And then that actually makes it more positive. Otherwise, you just get the hell off Instagram, which is what I've done for this month. I've just decided... You know, it's been a very tough year. I'm taking a break. I'm not seeing what I want from Instagram. Is Instagram the platform for me?
Exactly.
It's questionable. And I think there's been a lot of influencers who have also thought the same lately. Is that the platform for us?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because it comes up in, if you look at my podcast and many episodes, I speak with this to anyone, like people in the spiritual practices, another guy who's a coach, you know, like it always comes up, like this sort of thing. And I had the same. I very much feel like, what are you doing for me, Instagram? You know what I mean? Like it's kind of, and it is interesting because, you know, but what I find, and this is also another question I would really love to ask you, because I think listeners would love that, is like, how do you find your people? Because I think a lot of people think that Instagram, like myself, like, oh no, if I'm not on Instagram, no one's gonna find me, no one's gonna know about me, you know, like, how do people find you, or how do you find people to find you, you know?
So most of mine is word of mouth, and it has been from the beginning of my business. It's been one good job, the next person, the next person. And then that person comes back to you and refers the next person. And those have been the long time true followers who are still around to this day, who still ask me to do work or still pass clients my way. And I think that has been the biggest thing, is doing, when you do one good job in the beginning,
it's so funny because in yoga, we say that as well, you only have one student. And, you know, if that one student will tell someone else, and then they tell someone else, and they tell someone else, you know, it's really good advice. Because are you ever worried that you won't have work, or?
All the time. But my thing is, and I've got a business bestie, or my work wife, as I call her, it's like, this is a constant thing that we talk about together, is, oh my gosh, I don't know when, but it's that absolute trust and faith. And then we say to each other, when in the last 6-7 years have you ever struggled with finding clients? And if you didn't have clients, what would you do? And I was like, I do this. We'll be fine. And the next day, after having that kind of conversation with each other and just putting our trust and faith back in our abilities and the universe to provide, next day, the clients show up, the inquiries show up, and it has just time and time again, it's just proven itself, but we still have those wobbly moments of like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get another client, but we do, we always do. It always shows up.
That's a beautiful thing also about, I think it also, it's nice, right, to have someone there who you can also kind of brainstorm with, and like someone to pick your brain, you know, like I think that's super helpful.
When I went into starting my own business, the one thing that I asked for was a business bestie, like someone I could bounce ideas off. And it was so random because we she had a blog. She was a blogger, like a big South African blogger at the time. And she lived in the same town as me. And I read her blog. And then I decided, you know what? I'm just going to email her and I'm going to ask her to go for coffee. And she was like, cool, let's do it. Next thing, we like best friends. And
that's great.
And, you know, now she lives back in England, but we probably chat to each other more now that she lives far away than when she lives closer. We just get each other. We're not in the same industry. We're in, you know, kind of parallel industries, so that we work together quite often, but we just get each other and we understand each other. And when she is having a bad day, I'm probably having a good day, and we can help each other along. Like I can give her positive advice and vice versa.
I think it helps a lot. Like I think that like I used to run my own cafe, I think you know, because of Footprint Cafe, remember the website. because we also go way back now, Nicola. You've been doing some work for me. But Lisa and I, we always said that, like, because we were business partners, and when other people would ask us, like, you know, what is your secret? Or, you know, if I want to start my own cafe, what should I do? Is like, find a partner. Like, do not do any of this stuff alone. You know, like, it's just too hard, you know?
Yeah. It's but people so want to do it alone. Like, I think people like, I can do this alone. And I'm like, you can do it alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's going to be lonely and it's going to be more difficult. And it's just sometimes just having that sounding board of what do you think
that's what it is.
In this situation. What must I do? Or what would you suggest? And whether you take the advice or not, that's totally up to you. But
no, I think like having these guides in life is so important, right? Like to have this kind of like, I do it with you also a lot of times, but I have an idea in my head, like, what would your advice be? Do you think this is good? And I take that very serious because I think you're extremely professional and very good in what you do. So I hear, does everybody hear that? If you need someone, go see Nicola. get in touch. But yeah, I think that's important because you do know things that I, you know, like, man, I don't know nothing about JavaScript algorithms, freaking, you know, that kind of type of the business. I just don't know. And I'm because in that sense, like, I am so grateful that there's people like you and Maria and, you know, in my life, because I have it in my head, but I just can't, you know, and to me, it's extremely important to have a good website, you know?
Oh yeah,
because that's another question I want to ask you. Do you feel our website still very important with or has that changed, or how is that going?
I think you can probably see the smirk on my face.
Great question. Thank you for
your question. You remember, like, I don't know if it was 2 months ago. Was it 2 months ago? And Instagram went down and Facebook went down and whatever else, we went down for like 6 hours or something, and everybody was in a panic. And then it's like, well, what now? So you don't own Facebook, you don't own Instagram, you don't own Pinterest, all of these social media platforms, and they can just disappear. You know, I have seen so many influencers in the last month lose accounts where they've got 20,000 followers, 100,000 followers, gone in a day. No idea why. What have they done on Instagram to just lose their accounts? And to me, you own your website, you own your email list. Those are two massively important things that you need to be in control of. And a lot of people, they build a website and then it's like, okay, cool, I've got a website. And I'm like, no, your website should be changing with your business. Because I mean, if I look back, my business was like it was before March pandemic hit last year, and things have changed a lot for me as my business in 2 years. So my website should reflect that, and my services should change, and I should be adding new opt-ins and trying to get people to my website, not to my Instagram. So yes, I 100% believe that that having a website is important. It's another way for your business to get found. It's, I'm not saying it's the be all and end all of everything, but it's a huge part of the puzzle in your marketing. So, you know, like you've got that as a big piece of your puzzle, and then you've got Facebook and you've got Instagram that comes into it. And those are like your little men that go out, they go tell, spread the word, and then people come back to your website.
To the main street.
Yeah, to the main street. And that's where they should be. And that's where you want them to keep coming back to. You want them to be looking at your website and downloading your content, ultimately getting into your email marketing list. Because I think that's another important part as well, is getting people's email addresses. You own that content. Maybe you don't own MailChimp and you don't own ConvertKit, but you own those emails and you can download them and save them somewhere safe.
You can't
save your Instagram followers.
Exactly. No, so, I really like also this ownership that the way you're explaining it as ownership. It's so true,
right? It is. Okay, yes. Sometimes your website might go down, but you can take a backup of your website, which we hope you're all doing.
Taking
a backup, and you always have your website. You don't always have
Instagram. And I do think, I mean, I take people more serious if they have a website. And ever since I started my own business, which I was like 18 or something when I started in the theater business, I've always had a website, and I always wanted to make sure that whatever happened, like, I wanted to have a good website, and I still do. I mean, you can tell that people, even when they see your business card and, you know, and then they go to you, or, you know, and when you just launched when we launched my new website, and so many amazing feedback from people, and you're like, yeah, I'm also really proud of it. Like, it made me proud to have a very good looking website that also can be with you for quite a while, you know, because I'm ever changing all the time, and I do this and then I do that, and then I focus on this and then I focus on that. So sometimes it's hard, because if I could, I would have a new website every 6 months or something. But it's nice to have something there that just, you know, as you say, changes with you, and it's, you know, it's ever evolving as the times are, and, you know.
And having a website makes you more professional. If you go to someone's Instagram profile and they don't have a link in their bio, you kind of question. It's like I don't know if it's you, but like for me, if I go to someone's Instagram and they don't have stories, I'm like, why have you not got any stories? I really need to get to know you a little bit more on a more personal level. So, like, I think the stories is the personal level, but the professional level is the website. So you might like connect with them on Instagram, and then you go like, oh, I need to know just a little bit more about them. And then you go to the website, and if they don't have one, it's like, that's that like next step. And you're not giving them that next step of getting more, buying a product, doing whatever you want.
Exactly. It's a shame, because there's a missing link there in a way, I think.
Yeah. And sometimes people think that it needs to be, what I see people do is they look at someone who is 5 years in front of them or 10 steps ahead of them in their business, and they think they need a website like that person, and then it overwhelms them. So then they don't go through the whole website process, or they don't even think of, you know, contacting a web designer or trying to do it themselves, because they feel so overwhelmed. Yeah. And it's like, you, again, it's that you're just at the beginning of your journey. So don't look at someone who's 5 years down the line, just create what you need. And sometimes it's just a simple thing, a simple website. Mm-hmm. You don't need everything. You just need like one page to start with. And that's
absolutely
fine.
And be, again, stay in your lane, be where you are, like focus on your own goals, you know, like that sort of coming back to that again. And something else that I was wondering, when you were speaking about, like, you know, you predominantly have a female, you know, you have female clients, and you have kind of that attraction. And do you, is that also on a personal level, like, is female empowerment important to you?
100%, yes. I feel like women are just going to take over completely.
All around the world. Yeah. Girls.
All around the world. Yeah. Around the world. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that song.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, I also have two daughters and like, I want to empower them, not to say like, oh, we don't need men in our life, but it's to say like, we can stand on our own two feet. And, you know, we have that independence. We have, we can do everything they can, and we can really grow our own business and be successful and not be dependent on them. And I think that's something that I learned from my mother. Like, my parents got divorced when I was like 12 years old. We lived in Botswana, which is a country just by South Africa. And my dad moved back to Scotland. So my mom was very much doing everything by herself with four kids. And yeah, I learned so much of that independence from her.
Such respect. Yeah. That's amazing.
And it's like, it's just empowerment to empower. It's, you know, like, I know I've gone down the female route, but it's also just empowering anyone to give them the confidence that they can start a business. And they can actually have the life that they want.
Go for your life. Exactly. People can go for their life. Yeah.
So many people don't believe that they can have the dream business or the whatever it is, because I don't think that's something that you're taught in school. You're not taught that.
And I think we just grow up with such, you know, I'm quite fearless, but you know, I can see it in everyone's, like, people have this fear and it's like ingrained in them. And you know, people just say like, no, you need the job and you need the, exactly what you said, you need to be married, you need to have children, you need to have a house, you need, or you need to have a car. Like, it's just all this stuff.
Why? It's like that societal pressure to that. And I'm like, no, you don't, like, so my daughter was asked at school, what do you want to be when you grow up? So she lists like five different things. And I was like, that's my goal. You can be anything you want and you can be all of them. I'm not saying you're going to be good at all of them, but you can be these days. It's not like we go to university, we get our job, we're done.
Yeah.
No, things change. And how many people like, okay, I'm a this for so many years and then we change, or, you know, I love that about life, like how it's changed.
Besides your mother, who sounds awesome, by the way, hello, mom, you are amazing. do you feel like you have any other female role models on your, on this like female empowerment journey?
I think my mom has probably been the biggest. And I never been like a celebrity worshiper at all. I'm just not interested. So for me, it's more like seeing other female entrepreneurs in the same kind of, not necessarily what I'm doing, but in the online space, and like, oh my gosh, look at what they are creating and the kind of lifestyles that these people are creating for themselves. I think there's just so many people out there to admire.
Yeah, because I feel that you are, in a way, like, I felt that this, I think maybe you did that last year or something, but you made this kind of photo like a friend with all the other photos, and like I was in it as well, and I remember just kind of thinking, you're also such a space holder, you know what I mean, like, you've created like, and I really liked that, because I was like, I'm already quite proud of what I'm doing, because, you know, whatever other people think or whatever people judge me for, like, I will just do what I want to do, period. Like, I don't care what you think about it. I'm going to do this. But then to be in this sort of framework of all these other amazing women, and then you also listed them and what they were doing, I was like, so proud to be part of this. And I didn't even realize I was part of something, you know. I was like, oh yeah, I guess I'm part of her, like, sort of female network of the women that you work for, or that you designed for. And it really made me feel good, you know, and very proud.
Oh, good.
Thanks. Yeah, it was great. It was really
amazing.
Like, yeah, because I think it is, because I do think, I still think we are not equal. And I still think that, you know, there's still, you know, in the same jobs, women getting less pay. And, you know, it just bothers me. Like, it's 2021. Like, what?
Surely by now. Come on.
Come on. Like, our moms, our grandmoms and our great grandmas, they fought so much for this, you know, like, it's just, I don't know.
I always remember being in a job in England, and just, I remember saying to my aunt, actually, just saying to her, like, I feel like I have got no purpose in this job. I'm not changing anyone's life. I worked in insurance. I mean, it's like that, give me your money in case you have an accident, incidental or something, you know, like it was, and I mean, you know, like, I don't know, think about it. When you're purchasing insurance, you're not like, yay, let's purchase insurance. Yes. It's fun. You know, it was never like a positive thing. It was always like, living in a negative space. I don't know. Obviously, I have since learned a lot. And whenever I see someone who's named their business like with a negative word, I'm like, don't do that. Name it something with more positive. Anyway, so I remember saying to her, I feel like I've got no purpose. I'm not changing anyone's life. I'm not doing anything to like help someone. And she was like, yeah, you are. You're giving them insurance in case something happens. And I'm like, no, come now. That's not changing someone's life in a positive way. So when I started my business, that was like, how can I make my difference with the skills that I know and that I love and that I'm passionate about?
Yeah.
So that's what I try. And I think with creating my course, that's the thing, is to show people that people think it's so difficult to create a website, and I'm like, no, it's not. Like this, if you follow step by step, you can really do it yourself. And I know when you start your business, you've got limited resources. You can't outsource it to a web designer. So this is the next
what a wonderful thing. So are you doing that? Are you doing it at the moment, then, Nicola? Or
So it's a live 6-week course. Well, it's pre-recorded tutorial guides, but it's a container for 6 weeks. And there's a Facebook group for us to discuss things. And every Monday we've got a new module. There's 9 modules in total. And it really goes into, you know, preparing your website, gathering together the content, which is what everybody struggles with.
I can really see you do this. This is awesome.
And then it's all the tutorial guides, which you know how I do my tutorial guides.
They're great.
All
they're
like
great.
That. And
They're great.
Like it's been amazing so far, and I've loved it. And I just want to really get it out there next year. And the next step is then to be teaching other web designers how to create websites and become web designers.
And do you feel like, was there something specifically happening in your life that you were like, oh, I want to be the teacher now, I want to start teaching? How did this idea come about?
It came about because I always do the tutorial guides for my clients, and I love them. I love that part of
I love
process.
That too.
Like,
I love them too. Because sometimes I'm like, what was it again? And then I go back and I'm like,
and then you go back
Nicola. I think your daughters are in the background or something. Or
were they?
Really,
okay.
Yeah, it's really sweet. I'm just like, oh, Nicola.
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, and I'd been doing it for years, and then I'd had so many clients say to me, oh, you're so good at the tutorials.
Yeah,
do you have
you
a course?
Really,
and then I'm like, no, you have a course. And I'm like, well, it's natural progression. Yes, I'd love to do a course.
So
I do hope that, you know, post-pandemic, when things calm down, I can do indoor. I mean,
IRL.
That would be
IRL.
Yes. In real life.
IRL workshops.
That'd
be amazing.
I would like to do that. That would be amazing because it's more hands-on. You get your questions answered there and then. But I think the most important part of the course is the beginning, people writing the copy, gathering together the content.
What exactly do
I need on my website? It's that's, you know, the tech part. You just follow tutorials step by step. It's that coming up with, what do I need on my website?
Because I think also, you know, like from my own personal experience, a lot of times you want too much information, you know, like, but you want to say it all, especially like, you know, with my website, it was very much like, but I do food and I do yoga and I do activism. And it's like, and you know, you want to say so much that I've really learned to cut it down. But it's difficult.
Condense
you know?
It.
What
yeah.
do you say? You know, like, yeah.
I think
that's great.
You've got to say whatever's going to get you to your business goals or get you to that end destination of, okay, what is it exactly that I want my website as a resource to do for my business and to help me get to those business goals. Okay, that's it. And then always bring it back to, what are my business goals? Is this page even relevant? Is it going to, you know, help me or anything, or help those help me get to those goals? No, it's not. Ditch it. It doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
And people just think we need page after page after page after page. And I'm like, cut it down.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't need all that.
Or you get the opposite, where it's like, make me a website. Okay.
Yeah.
And what are you going to give me? Nothing. I thought if I asked you to make a website, you make it for me.
Make it all up. Make me a website and make me a life. Give me a life. Like
a life.
I think
an important part is also knowing your business. When you really, really know your business, it's easy to create a website, because you know your business inside and out. You know who you serve, you know what it is you want to get to, you know the services you offer, etc. So easy. But I think that's the same when it comes to Instagram. When you know your business, you know what you want to achieve, you know who you're doing it for. It's like, the content creation process becomes easier.
It's good to have a sort of design, or like sort of a mind map. Like a roadmap for yourself before you. I mean, I do that all the time. Even when I want to do website updates, it's like, okay, but where should I, what has evolved, you know, and what should change?
What is the plan? What's the direction?
Yeah, exactly. And have you, so you've been kind of doing it, being, you know, having your own business for about 7 years. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And how old are your daughters?
My eldest has just turned 6 and the other one just turned 2.
Aww.
Yeah.
And so, because that's another thing that I was wondering, how is it to combine motherhood and your own business? Probably it's not hard.
It's a challenge. Let me say it's a challenge. It's not hard. It's a challenge. And, you know, if I didn't have kids, I'd probably just work all the time, because I love what I do. But having children has made me step back and realize that, you know, my kids are in my life forever, and they grow so fast. Like, people say it all the time, oh, they grow up so fast, but you don't believe it until you have your own kids. Like, I feel like my youngest was just born yesterday, but she's now 2. It's like so weird. And I think it may be because of the pandemic, like, you know, that time is kind of been warped in the last 2 years. Yeah,
so weird, right?
It's what a weird time kind of anymore. Last year was short and this year has been long. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
2020 didn't exist. It was all weird. Yeah.
It was all weird. And I think kids has just made me slow down a lot more and prioritize a lot. And the most amazing thing is, when you have kids, is you can get way more work done in a shorter period of time. Like, you are just laser focused, because, you know, I've got 4 hours and I got to get that stuff done.
Yeah.
Because then the kids come home
and then it all goes to shit then.
It does. It really does.
That's a really good thing also, actually, right? Like, to have that kind of,
And then my husband also works away. So this year was challenging, more challenging, just because he was away for like 3 months at a time. So it was, you know, solo parenting. He told me it's solo parenting, not single parenting. And just looking after the kids by myself, and then trying to run a business, and then trying to get them ready for school, and doing all of this. And it can be overwhelming, but that's where like systems and organization comes into play. And then just realizing you just can't do it all. You can't.
But it's also really beautiful what you're saying about that they also get you to slow down. And they also, I mean, it's actually really healthy also how you're explaining it. Yeah. Because it's like, you probably would be a workaholic if it wasn't for your kids. Oh, you know?
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And that was also my reason for coming off Instagram for December. I'm like, it's school holidays. You know, you just
want to be with your
started.
Kids.
I scroll on Instagram mindlessly often. I mean, as soon as I get onto Reels, that's me gone for the evening. Like, it will be like 2 hours and I'm done for Reels. I love it.
Because
I
you
love
dial Reels. Up the dial up is on and
the dial up's on. I'm in there, you know. That's That's my 11-year-old self loving it.
There she is again.
She's, yeah. yeah, so just coming off that, I feel like I'm just more present, more focused. Instead of being on Instagram, I'm reading a book, but then I'm, even though they're with me, it's like reading a book is very different to being like in that trance. It's like a trance of being on on Instagram.
Absolutely.
And then you like suddenly look up and you go like, it's not the time that's gone. It's just like your brain is like fried. It's completely. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so much more present with life after coming off Instagram.
But that's
they do make you slow down, and it is a challenge. It's a juggle. It's a constant, how am I fitting this in? How am I doing this? And I've just always come back to the same thing. It's just lists. I'm a list person. I write. If it's not written down and scheduled, then it's not happening. It's not happening. I'm not getting it done.
It's not on the family planner.
Or it's, yeah, it's, you know, someone will say like, can you do like Tuesday next week at 2 o'clock? I'll whip out that calendar and it's on my phone.
I love it. You and I are both like that. This time, let's do it.
You know, otherwise you don't get anything done in your life. It's true. Yeah.
That's good advice as well, people.
One of my coaches actually said it to me. She's like, Nicola, you're a web designer. You are not a heart surgeon. Your work is important. She said, yeah, it is important, but you're not doing heart surgery. So it can wait. It can wait. Your children cannot wait. They can't wait for you because they will grow up and the moment will be past.
What a good like wake up call as well, right? Mm-hmm. To see that, like, because I think a lot of us think that we are indeed heart surgeons, but we're not. I can definitely feel what she's saying over there. I'm like, what a good reflection. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Well, I could chat for you. I would love to see you IRL one day. Know that you're always welcome here.
Me too.
And hopefully we can make it work. That someday. But my last question would be like, what is your wish for next year? Like it's just around the corner for next year. Like what is your, not necessarily goals, but what is your wish for the year of 2022?
Wow. I sat down and I started thinking about all of this today. So good question. I wrote down goals. Mm-hmm. I've got like three big things that I really want to achieve. Like they're kind of like domino goals. So if you achieve this, I might achieve all the little things.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But I don't know. I just want more consistency next year. Mm. Just consistency in finances.
Yeah.
Health. Health is a big one. Health was a big one for me this year. So she like took myself back to the gym and I was loving it.
Did you have something with your eyes?
Yeah, I did. That was last year, July, but that was choice surgery. I had laser eye surgery because I've had bad eyes since I was probably from the day that I discovered dialect.
I just want to say, probably the problem. Blame it on the dialect.
All the dialect. That's, yeah, I've had bad
too much
eyesight.
Dialogue. Eyes can handle it. Yeah.
If you have bad eyesight and you can get laser eye surgery, I'd 100% recommended. So that was July last year. Never have to wear a contact lens again. Never have to wear glasses. I had to use my glasses to find my glasses. That's how blind I was. Like it was so blind. Anyway, off topic, it's just more consistency in health, finance, and like the direction that I want to go in. And for me, it's like YouTube is like where I want to go. So it's consistency in that. And that's kind of
nice.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good word. I think consistency is something that many of us crave, you know, especially in these uncertain times and, you know, and the work that, especially when you are an entrepreneur, when you work for yourself, consistency is something that we normally don't have or would make things a lot easier. So
It does make it a lot
easier. I hope actually, you get your consistency.
Nicola. When you are consistent, you thank you. When you are consistent, like you just get a lot more confident because you're building on top of things. And if you are, let's say, learning something, or like I'm trying to learn YouTube and trying to put videos out, if I'm not consistent, I'm not growing. And
it all comes together to that one place. Well, I'll make sure that your website is in the notes in your Instagram. Amazing. So people can find you. I hope you'll get even more clients, and I hope everything will work out for you because you really deserve it. I think you're amazing, and I'm so grateful for all you've done for me, making me and my website look good. And also I think it's wonderful what you said about your mother and your daughters as well. So send all my love to your mother and your daughters. Because I'm all for this, like I'm such a feminist. So that's I was like cycling home today. I was like, oh, I'm gonna interview Nicola, and it's so wonderful because I know my first question, and like it's so cool that she does all this stuff for, you know, for female entrepreneurs, because I do think that we need an uplift sometimes, you know. And there's this beautiful quote, it's about like, if some of us are down, if some of us are not, you know, completely uplifted, then you know, then I'm not either, you know. It's kind of like we should be all happy, or you know, like it's about that sort of standing together,
quite, you know? We rise when others rise, or they
I think that's I can't remember the exact quote, but it was very much about like, no, I can't be uplifted if some other women are you know, just down and held down. And I think a lot about, you know, refugees in Iran, and like you know, these women that have, like, I mean, I have a friend of mine who I met here, and she was put in Iran jail just because of saying something feminist, you know.
Oh wow.
And it's just these things, you know, we I think we should stand together and know that this is a fight for, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg for me is she is definitely one of my female role models and heroes, because what she did and what she stood for, you know, in her time, is just you know, I just think she's so such an incredible woman until she was very old, like, just like, yes, you know, we are in this together, and we are
gonna
definitely take over the world. So
we are,
yeah, definitely. So now we should put the Beyonce song in at the end.
We should end this episode.
Exactly.
Or some dial-up in there. Mix some dial-up with some Beyonce.
That'd be so cool. But thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. No, I hope people
it's been amazing.
People will go find you. So please, everybody listening, have a look at Nicola and go check her out, and get in touch with her if you need a course, if you need a website, anything like that. So,
Or if you have a WordPress question.
A WordPress question. That's another.
That's me.
If you need a WordPress.
Website.
What is it like? Can I say geek, or is that offensive?
Oh, you can call me a geek. I'm not a geek. I'm cooler than ninja. A geek. I always think a
WordPress
geek.
A WordPress ninja. If you need a WordPress ninja.
Yeah.
That's it.
Go to a WordPress girl. Yeah.
That'll be good. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you, Nicola. And you know the drill. Be good to yourself. Be good to others, especially the animals. Bye, guys.
Bye. Who run the world, girls? Who run the world?
Thank you all so very much for listening to Go For Your Life. I really appreciate it. And if you liked it, you know what to do. Please leave a review, leave a comment, share it amongst friends, do whatever you can do to support me and this podcast, because it is my life. Thank you very much, Miguel, for doing the editing. Thank you so much, Maria, for your beautiful designs. Thank you, Sparky, for being the best co-host ever. Thank you, animals worldwide, for your daily inspiration to keep me going, for always putting that fuel in me. Thank you so, so much, because we know the drill, right? Namaste, vegan!
Go, 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 go.